The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I'm already broken. You have no idea why.
Delete.
Shannon Young here. I am your host tonight, as always. And with me, of course, is Asa Gray, the five-star man.
All five.
Allie, not actually A-Bear from Allie, not actually A-Bear Designs.
Hello.
Coming soon to a podcast near you. And, of course, to my left, the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
We got a lot to talk about tonight. It's some big news in wrestling, but mostly we really want to talk about Cape Championship Wrestling's Super Show, which was on Saturday, and Girl Fight, which was on Friday. We had such a good time, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. So if you want to hear that specifically, we said we were going to do this. Skip ahead to about the halfway point. We'll probably start talking about it there. But why would you want to? So we got so much news to talk about, so much happening in the world of professional wrestling. Let's get right to it. How's everybody tonight?
I'm doing good.
Doing better than Mauro?
Aw, now I'm sad.
Let's start with the sad story.
He's probably made more money than I'll ever see.
So the first note of the night is that Mauro Ranallo is officially gone from WWE.
Yeah.
This was confirmed?
Yes, he did an interview. He also, it very much sounds like he signed an NDA, which would not be surprising.
Not surprising, no.
But he did say that it had nothing to do with JBL, which...
He signed a non-disclosure agreement, but not about JBL?
No, like, he's no longer with the world...
WWE.
He's no longer with WWE. I don't know why I tried to say the full thing, because it's not even that anymore.
You full porky pigged it.
I did. he's no longer with WWE, and it had nothing to do with JBL. It was, like, the official statement, but then, like, everything else after that, he didn't really expand upon.
So do you buy that?
Not entirely.
Not in the least bit.
Like, I mean, it may not have been. It may have just been, like, between the travel schedule and Vince McMahon straight up, you know, oh, he does things differently. He does things his own way. We want him on our show. Why are you doing things differently? Why are you doing things your own way?
Yeah, because apparently, I think this came out last week, or maybe it was in between our two shows, but Vince McMahon brought him in because he was different. Then Vince McMahon was upset that he didn't sound more like Michael Cole, so he wanted him to sound more like Michael Cole, which really reminds me of when they had Michael Cole, and they wanted him to sound more like JR. Or they had Joy Styles, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they were like, why aren't you more like JR? Why can't you be more like JR? Like, you don't hire people to be different and then expect them to just
fall
copy.
In line.
Yeah.
And that's, so with Joe, like the Joey Styles thing, though, is that they had just probably one of the best commentators of all time, and they just drove him away.
Yeah. Well, he still works there.
Not anymore.
No,
he got fired.
He got fired, didn't he?
Remember? Because we did AJ Styles got fired.
Yes, AJ Styles was fired.
Yeah, no, and...
I forgot about... I forgot Joey Styles got fired.
I'm still bummed out about that because he's so good.
He is, like, good. He's just a great talent in so many different ways.
Him,
not the best person.
The reason he got fired, too, was the dumbest.
I don't even remember why now.
Because he did the interview talking about, like, yeah, Roman Reigns may not be, you know, the fan's favorite, but Vince likes him, so Vince is going to push him. And he was very defensive of Vince and his stance on that. But it wasn't good enough. And then, as you can tell, like, no, they're fine with him not being cheered. That's why they edited that giant video package from Monday and put in cheers on the Raw after Mania and him beating The Undertaker.
When you talk about people like JBL or was Booker T, I don't remember who, but the people that say, well, why didn't Mauro stand up for himself? Why didn't Mauro say, you know, I'm not going to be bullied by you? And you remember JBL is a Vince McMahon guy. And that's the difference between somebody like JBL and Joey Styles. Joey Styles is not a Vince McMahon guy. So the first time he says something, even remotely against what the narrative they want to push, because in Vince's mind, everybody loves Roman Reigns. He is the savior. He is the true Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Death Valley, except it's called Hope Valley now.
He's the big dog.
He's the underdog.
He's the underdog.
He's the underdog of every fight. How could he beat anybody?
But that's his yard.
Well, it's a small yard. He's gaining ground.
I'm happy he won the property dispute.
I am happy Mauro's gone, personally.
For Mauro.
For Mauro. Absolutely.
As a fan and as someone who watches SmackDown, very sad. I mean, I'm happy for Tom Phillips too.
Yeah.
Because,
well, until Mike Goldberg apparently comes in. That's the big rumor. Mike Goldberg is being courted by WWE. In fact, part of the reason they brought Jim Ross back to his 2-year contract is because Jim Ross and Mike Goldberg are close. And reports say that they're hoping that Jim Ross's friendship with Mike Goldberg and the fact that he was rehired will help bring Goldberg in, because they tried to get Mike Goldberg years ago. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get him. He was still with UFC. He's no longer with UFC. Mm-hmm. So now's the perfect opportunity to do it. And I think that would be a huge mistake for Mike Goldberg to come in to WWE land.
Think that they want him because he's different and then they're going to get pissy whenever he's different?
I think they want him just because he was in UFC.
He's a good commentator.
Yeah, and that's not to take away from him, because he's a great commentator. He really is.
You want
to
know who I liked more MMA commentating?
Boss Rutten?
No, Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, you don't like Boss Rutten as a commentator?
No, I'm just saying.
He's hilarious.
Oh, no, he's great, but like he had Mauro there. Like that was his JR.
Well, Mike Goldberg had freaking Joe Rogan, and he still sounded good.
No, and I mean, Mike Goldberg is awesome at calling MMA fights, but I'm just saying Mauro Ranallo was better at that, and they had the better version of him, and they screwed it up.
I feel like Mike Goldberg is not going to take the same amount of crap that Mauro took. Mm-mm,
I doubt that,
and
too.
I think Mike Goldberg would get in JBL's face faster, and he'll probably get fired faster, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So Mauro was gone. I feel good for Mauro only because he's getting away from a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Because even if all this stuff about JBL turns out to be not true, like there was something happening there that was not good for him.
There was clearly something happening. Yeah.
And it may have just been a down period for his bipolar disorder. Like, you know, no one's really going to know as long as that NDA is honored.
I feel like Mauro is not the kind of guy that once it's over, he's not going to go on some talk show or
he's not going to CM Punk it.
Yeah, he's not going to spill the beans about everything that happened. I feel like he will be very respectful about it because he seems like such a respectful guy.
He's a stand-up guy for sure, just the way he holds himself.
Sad. The Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan combo from the CWC was one of my all-time favorite combinations of announcers. So it was so good. So Mauro was gone, whether it be by JBL or whoever.
I was really looking forward to a Corey Graves Mauro team.
That would have been good too.
We were this close to Mauro and Byron Saxton.
That would have made Saxton listenable.
Yup.
I like Byron Saxton. He would.
He's harmless.
He's harmless. He's vanilla announcer.
He is a safe choice.
He really is. Yeah. He's not flashy. You can put him out there and he'll do his job.
Yeah.
But he's not going to win any awards.
I will say, like, I do like Byron Saxton's character. Like, he does a good job with what he's given.
He's kind of like a new coach.
But not as good.
Or is obnoxious.
Yeah,
true. Like, Coach was actively antagonistic, and Saxton is just kind of the opposite. He's a punching bag. He lays low. He doesn't really...
But I feel, we're getting off topic here, but I feel like if Saxton at some point turned heel, but not as an announcer, you just use it as a gateway to get him in, mm-hmm. I feel like that would be a good heel turn, because he's so harmless that if he did something really vicious for any reason, it would be surprising.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just a matter of if they could sustain it.
Yeah, and if he'd be good at it.
Yeah.
That's the question. But anyway, Mauro was gone. We'll keep you updated on the story if we find anything else out. Mm-hmm. But that's all we know right now. In happier news, Asuka, who's the second most dignified and decorated Japanese superstar in WWE right now, beyond Shinsuke, passes Goldberg's undefeated streak. Dalton. Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna let you give this up. because she tweeted that she had beat it at a house show.
Double fingers.
Which counts. I wasn't listening to NXT when it was on. Did they mention it at all?
They mentioned that they're...
Regal announced the number one contendership.
Yeah, they're announcing a match.
But he did say something to her that I couldn't hear because Dalton was running his mouth about some figure he'd bought. I'm pretty sure.
More than likely.
And I'm not joking. You talk so much and so loudly. That's why you have a podcast.
That is like a year and a half old bit.
What is?
Whenever you'd go into Hastings, be like, oh yeah, no, you're on the podcast.
Don't say where you work. Oh.
Anyway. Oh, I'm going to be really happy to find out that they found me.
But they did. William Regal said something to her at first, and she smiled, and he smiled. So I think that might have been.
It could have been an
acknowledgement. But I wasn't paying attention.
But it should have been made a much bigger deal. Like, that should have been like an in-ring, like.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's a big milestone.
Like, she should have beat that on NXT.
Especially,
TV.
Yeah, it should have been on TV, and it's, you know.
She should have beat Bill DeMott for it.
And especially because it seems like it's more legitimate than Goldberg's, because Goldberg was going from one episode of Raw from one episode of Nitro to the next when accumulating like 40 wins at a time.
Yeah. Yep. That was a thing.
Fighting all stars like Kenny Chaos
and Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris.
Did he ever fight Glacier?
Oh, more than likely.
Allie, Hugh Morris was Bill DeMott. Hugh Morris's finisher was called the Punchline.
No, it wasn't.
What was it?
No Laughing Matter.
Was it? I thought it was the Punchline.
Mm-mm.
All right, well, we're looking that up. All right, what's next?
I was a WCW guy, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. I actually liked Hugh Morris. Mm-hmm. Not to say anything about Bill DeMott as a person or right. later on, but I liked Hugh Morris. Anyway.
Oh, no, he's a great wrestler. Horrible human being.
He was. He was a good wrestler.
What about when he was Hugh Erection?
General Erection.
General Erection, that's what it was.
Because Hugh Erection makes too much sense.
That's true. That's, now, Dalton, that's two on the nose.
Dalton, can you tell real quick, Allie, how Goldberg lost his streak?
Ah, dang it. It was no laughing matter. Kevin Nash, or no, it was Scott Hall. Got him with a stun gun.
Cattle prod. Yep.
And then Kevin Nash.
Maybe Shannon should just tell it.
I wasn't a WCW guy.
I'm a WCW guy.
Yeah, Scott Hall hit him with the cattle prod, yep. And then Kevin Nash pinned him.
So Kevin Nash was the guy to end Goldberg's streak.
That young up-and-comer.
He put him over.
Putting over that younger talent. Good for them. So congratulations to Asuka.
Yeah.
And now I'm ready to see the title off of her.
I'm not.
Forever. Only because I want it on Peyton Royce.
They
so
should
bad.
Just rename it the Asuka Championship.
The Asuka Trophy?
Yeah, like when she, because the only, like when they pry it out of her, like out of the coffin, because yeah. she's going to die with that
yes,
thing.
Yes, absolutely.
And then they just rename it the Asuka Championship.
They're not gonna page her like the second she goes up to the main roster with the belt. She's gonna be like, no, this is still mine. I'll defend it on every show.
Like she'll be dead for like 6 months before the Grim Reaper finally gets the stones to.
She is carrying on the tradition of that NXT women's title. Like yeah. that
there has not been a bad champion.
No, there has not. She has definitely put her DNA on that title forever.
Proud of that?
No. Look, you can we shouldn't move on? Be. Can we move on?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Steiner and Low-Key. Oh my god, I forgot Steiner's back.
Yeah, Scott Damn Steiner. It. To team up with Jeremy Borash. Or not Borash. Oh not Borash. Josh Matthews.
Oh, it's he's even worse.
He's teaming up with Josh Matthews for that tag match at Slammiversary. I don't know who Borash. I don't remember who Borash is.
And we're done with this.
I mean, there's a part of me that really wants to see this just because. All right. Right now, the legendary Podzilla chat is called, what is it, Pumpzilla?
Pumpzilla. Mm-hmm. Although it could have been called Freakzilla.
Big Papa Pumpzilla.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner is the best worst wrestler.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it's not called Freakzilla like boggled my mind.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's what I thought too.
When I pulled up the group chat at work and I saw that like it had changed again, I was like, "That's the name we're going with." Okay, but it had been like an hour later, so yeah. I didn't acknowledge it.
But it works because he has Big Papa Pump. They also could have been Big Bad Booty Daddyzilla. That's too much. So Scott Steiner is back. I haven't seen a picture of him. Is he still a jacked genetic freak?
Of course.
Is he really? Because isn't he like 60 now?
Probably.
I mean, but steroids are infinite.
Look at
Brian Cage?
No, Expendables. Stallone? My brain is Stallone. My brain was saying Tony Schiavone. And I'm like, that's definitely not right. Yeah, Stallone.
So Scott Steiner is 54.
Oh, wow.
And to be fair, like, I'm looking at a picture of him from last year. He's still in pretty good shape. The tattoos have gotten ridiculous. And he still wears that goddamn chainmail.
Mm-hmm. That's never going away.
So the thing of it is if you watch an old Scott Steiner match, though, he was legitimately brilliant as a wrestler.
He was. Scott Steiner.
And then it went south.
Whatever happened to him when he went from, like, the varsity jacket, like, and dark hair to chainmail bleach blonde.
They got a hold of some bad bleach. I guess that had some steroids in it and his brain.
And this is how good Scott Steiner was. Growing up, I knew a Hurricane Rana, but it wasn't called a Hurricane Rana.
It was a Frankensteiner.
It was a Frankensteiner. And the reason it was called Frankensteiner was because Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump, used to do it. He was
from anywhere.
That wasn't the original Hurricane Rana. That was the top rope.
Jumping,
where they were sitting on the top turnbuckle and they jumped. That was the Frankensteiner because he was the first one to do that.
Young Shannon Young, though, without the internet, just assumed that was what that move was.
So yeah.
If I ever saw a Lucha guy do it, I just assumed that's a Frankensteiner.
Because, I mean, that was WCW continuity was anytime somebody did a Hurricane Rana, they would call it a Frankensteiner, even if it was a Hurricane Rana. Because the way that most Hurricane Ranas, they go off to the side, Scott Steiner's was mainly just, it was a complete, they would just go
straight
under his legs. Yeah, under his legs.
And that was an impressive move because even back then, Scott Steiner, though he was much more agile, was still a big guy.
Oh, no, he has always been a big
dude. But then he traded that in for a personality and just the biggest muscles.
The most steroids.
The most steroids.
It wasn't even a personality. He was just mad.
No simpy. To be fair, he was real dumb and his promos were terrible, but there was a genuine feel to them. Like when
it's still real to him, damn it.
Yeah, when he was yelling and rattling on about people, it felt like legit. Like,
well, because the time in WCW they were shoots.
They were.
He just started talking about Ric Flair and
you know his WCW work was dangerous, but it was still pretty good. Verbally. I don't even mean wrestling.
I mean some of his wrestling work was still dangerous too. Suplexes?
His TNA stuff though was just the worst promos of all time.
That was embarrassing.
Doing him and Egg.
The sacrifice.
Sudden done.
the sacrifice three-way Steiner math.
Math promo. Oh, if you've never looked it up, look up Steiner math.
Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, so he's not even going
to
try.
I showed it to Calvin.
Oh, it's so great.
And when I looked down at Calvin, he was on the floor sucking his thumb in a fetal position.
Anytime I show somebody that, they just kind of cock their head sideways, and they're like, what?
Steiner also has the worst finisher of all time. The Frankensteiner Steiner was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That move that he used to do, I don't even know what it was called, where he would like pick him up and then drop him.
Steiner screwdriver.
The screwdriver, yep. Yeah. That was a scary move, but it looked incredible.
Yeah.
The Steiner recliner is the worst finisher. It's a camel clutch,
yeah.
But it's the laziest camel clutch. He doesn't even like hook him. Mm-hmm. He just kind of sits down.
You know how good the accolade looks?
Yeah.
That's how bad the Steiner recliner looks.
Yeah.
It's the opposite end of the
spectrum. It's the opposite of it. Yeah.
Like, that's how great that move can look. Think like Rusev doing it to Kalisto, and then Scott Steiner doing it to anybody.
It was the worst, and it was completely unbelievable. I believed Hulk Hogan's leg drop more than I believed that damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was just the worst finisher. So good news, guys. If you're hoping that TNA, sorry, it's going to take a while to get rid of that.
Yeah.
If you're hoping that Anthem Impact or whatever it's called is going to be better and support the new guys, we're bringing in those hot young stars like Scott Steiner. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping Val Venus makes an appearance soon.
At least Loki can still wrestle, which is good because he just won the X Division Championship, dressed as the Hitman. So that was awesome. There's always been something about Loki that I've never really liked.
Same.
Like,
I always
liked him.
I don't know if it's because he always looks like he's working just the stiffest style.
Yeah.
And I don't super enjoy that regularly.
And he has a look on his face.
And he always just looks so angry.
Yeah.
And it's, like, and it's just some intangible thing that, like, it just doesn't appeal to me. And I get that I'm in the minority of that.
I love Loki.
I'm not a Loki
and
fan.
And
whenever
that's fair.
Whenever like, they brought him into WWE and they ruined it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that he kind of ruined himself.
A little bit, yeah.
I still remember the interview where he was, what was it, Cabal, right?
Cabal, yeah.
When he was doing the interview and they were like, okay, cut a promo or whatever and you have so many seconds. And he said something about, I'll give you total nonstop action.
Yeah.
And I remember Michael Cole literally saying, that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard Michael Cole get so angry, but he literally said, that was stupid.
But that was also during the era of Michael Cole did nothing but crap all over NXT.
But
when it was the game show type thing.
I have to feel that Vince was in his ear, though, that was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Loki can still go, absolutely. Yeah. And maybe Steiner will do something fun. Maybe he'll
I'm
do
sure.
a good
Depending on who,
steroid
again,
thing.
I can't remember who Jeremy Borash got
who
as his partner.
Who can jump
but
really high to make his suplexes look good still?
A lot of people in Impact.
Yep. Hopefully he'll be wearing that satin thong. That's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, what's next?
I think Sarge should sue. Sarge should definitely sue. Global Force Wrestling and Impact officially merge, according to Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
So Anthem needs.
So big surprise there.
Big surprise, yeah. Global Force Wrestling basically is Impact.
The only difference I think is that the Global Force Championships are just going to become like null and void.
Right.
It's just going to be replaced by the TNA Championships, Impact Championships.
Allie, have we ever shown you Steiner Mania?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat after this.
Yes, you really, really are. Do you like fat asses?
Because they're fat.
You're fat. You had no chance, but if you had a chance,
that's Scott Steiner. Yeah.
Candice LeRae is going to NXT.
Yes.
She was actually there. Not
the last.
Tapings? I don't think it was a taping. I think it was a house show.
Okay. I know the name, but please help me place it.
Amazing woman wrestler. She is married to Johnny Gargano.
Okay. That's where I know
she's
the name from.
Yeah. Mrs. Johnny Wrestling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's great. She did a lot of really good work with Joey Ryan.
That's where I remember her from.
She's had really great matches with both Ciampa and Gargano, because she wrestles men a lot. And it's always super, it's kind of like Lucha Underground with Sexy Star. Like, the way that they present it is super believable.
How do you feel about women and men intergender wrestling? Like, I'm just curious.
Depending on how it's presented makes a huge difference.
I 100% agree.
And the way that, like, Lucha Underground does it, and the way that, Lucha Underground has been very hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
With that, but like the matches that I've seen Candice LeRae do, she's not treated as like weaker. She's not treated as it's not a squash match or like a total underdog.
Right.
It's a legit like no, she's a wrestler. I'm a wrestler. We're going to. It's a wrestling.
It's a wrestling match, and I think it's also important. When I like women wrestling men is when they don't go to extreme violence. Like that clip that's been circulating in the past couple of days, because a couple of our friends posted it, where Stone Cold and Triple H beat Lita with a chair.
Oh yeah. God!
Like that's horrible.
That's
that
gross,
should never be anywhere near wrestling. Mm-hmm. But if it's respectful,
and I'm not saying that's not, like she's never done something like that.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that in NXT.
Yeah, because like
they're not going to do that on NXT. But it's also like the stuff of hers that I like and that is memorable to me.
Right.
Is not that so.
We've seen that in CCW too, where Mardi Gras or a little bit, whichever, has involved herself in wrestling. And Jason Wells, the CEO of CCW, has said on numerous occasions that anyone can win the title there, even Little Bit Mike could win. Allie, what do you think about, as a woman, what do you think about women wrestling men?
Pretty much what Asa said. If it's presented the right way, it's fine. Because you don't want to demean anyone.
Well, no. Thankfully, wrestling is a very respectful sport.
Not in the 90s.
Yeah.
No, that was not an issue then.
Yeah, I'm glad you missed the bra and panty matches. I'm glad you missed mud wrestling.
I'm willing to bet you probably wouldn't have been you wouldn't have stuck with wrestling if that stuff was still going on.
It was so disrespectful.
I don't know if I would still be a fan of wrestling if that stuff was still going on, to be fair.
And you know what really sucks, and the way I know, how I know I'm a real wrestling fan, is when they used to do that stuff, my brother, he didn't really like wrestling, but he watched it. And every time there was a bra and panty match or there was a mud wrestling match, he would just cheer and be excited. And I would roll my eyes and think, this is the dumbest thing.
Right.
I just want to see wrestling.
Right.
So, agreed. Dalton, what's your thoughts? Just real quick.
It's the same thing I am with every wrestling thing. It depends on the setting. Like, if it's going to be like a Lucha Vavoom, I'm going to expect it and it's going to be kind of weird.
A what?
It's a promotion.
Okay.
But it's a little bit, it's more of a mix of comedy. It's almost like comedy death ray.
Yeah.
But
for wrestling.
Yeah.
Or like Lucha Underground, you're going to see. It depends. Like, if WWE went really violent with it, I wouldn't be okay with it. But then again, whenever I saw like Lucha Underground, whenever Chavo Guerrero completely.
Oh, the head, the sex.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it because that's the character. Like, if they do it within the storylines of that, it's perfectly fine. I don't like it when it's randomly done. But
head chair shots in general.
Him attacking the ring announcer. Or not him, Pentagon Jr. attacking the ring announcer.
That was unsettling.
That was uncomfortable to watch.
But yeah, because she wasn't a wrestler. But like when it's an actual wrestler, and like Candice LeRae is amazing. Like,
and they've done it in wrestling in WWE before. I mean, Karma was a legitimate contender.
China held the Intercontinental belt.
Yeah, China was one of the, all time greats. And she really, she was a big, strong woman though.
The difference being though is that, both China and Karma had a unique look to them.
Yeah.
Like they weren't,
like there's
petite,
a big difference
whereas,
between
like,
China and Becky Lynch.
And Candice LeRae.
Yeah. Candice
LeRae. She's a smaller.
She has a small build to her. Yeah.
So keep it to women.
WWE doesn't have a precedent recently of it, so I don't see why they would want to start now.
And I don't think they should. Mm-hmm. A lot of people complained when the WWE games took out the intergender wrestling.
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it too, because as funny as it was to see, because I used to challenge myself. I'd pick Stephanie McMahon and try to fight Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the hardest challenges in WWE games whenever you had to take Mickie James and beat the great Khali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was funny, but it doesn't really belong there.
Right.
Speaking of big guys, the biggest guy, Shaq.
No, okay,
fine. Oh, no, we got a second in. We can
nah,
do
she
it.
Ruined the bit. She ruined the bit. Anyway, Shaq, Ace of Scratching.
Yeah,
his
she
beard.
Ruined the bit.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad bit to begin with.
So it was sudden done.
Yeah.
It was sudden done. Shaq blames WWE for missing Mania. I actually read that interview where he said that basically they didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they got around to knowing what they were doing, he was already busy.
Air quotes.
Do you buy that?
Not really.
Not
like,
at all.
I mean, I buy that he said no, and like, cause WWE changing their plans until the last minute. Okay, that makes sense.
Big surprise.
But like, what was he doing WrestleMania weekend?
Like, Allie, that was
he
true.
Did,
he did
no
the
idea.
He did Jimmy Fallon the next night.
Oh,
that's a plane ride. Like, that's not.
I mean, Rock was.
I mean, it's not really a plane ride because that would then go into orbit, but.
It wouldn't curve at all, though. Yeah. It's just a straight line.
I don't know why that broke me. Seeing Asa do the hand motions to the plane ride. I thought about Soul Plane and then.
So Soul why plane. Are you laughing?
Oh,
is that too mean?
That was the only laugh Soul Plane ever got.
So I just, I kind of believe him, but at the same time, like, even if that's the case, that's still kind of I feel bad for Big Show for getting in that shape and being like clearly that excited about something. So,
and then they pretty much robbed him of his WrestleMania moment.
Yep.
Because then he was just in the Battle Royal where
to
he was
be immediately
by 30
eliminated.
People. Yeah. So, if at least maybe that means we'll never have to see the match.
Yeah. Which I'm fine. It's not something that I was looking forward to, but Big Show is someone who deserves
that moment.
Some kind of big, good send-off.
A send-off. Yeah.
Which, and even if it was, Strowman breaking the ring on that superplex,
Am I the only one that's tired of that spot?
I mean,
they've only done it three times.
It's three times in 15 years, I think.
But every time that,
it's always been Big Show being superplexed
off. Yeah, and I feel like that should have been a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been a one-time thing. Because who was the first? Was it Henry?
It was Lesnar.
Was it Lesnar?
Lesnar, Henry, Strowman.
Okay. When Lesnar did it and it was a one-time thing, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
When Henry did it, it felt like a rehash.
Right.
And now, again, it just kind of feels like a rehash. You're right. It's only been done three times in 15 years. But I don't know why. Something every, that big.
But the thing of it is every time they've done it, it's been a big storyline plot point.
That has like, been, that was why haven't they reinforced the damn ring at this point?
Can you reinforce the ring whenever it's that much weight?
That's the joke.
They usually do, but it's those LED lights that were conveniently missing.
Whoops.
did either of you notice that before it happened?
I did not. Until they went to the top rope.
And then you thought,
and then I was like, okay, now like, I know what's happening.
You know, a really overused spot that I've noticed watching, I think I was watching like WWE's, maybe WWE, but it was a top 10 list of like the biggest ring crashes or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's that spot where someone will get tossed from a high thing and there's always a box cut out of the ring and they fall into it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that looked terrible because it's clearly there's a perfectly shaped box cut out of this. Mm-hmm. But whatever. You know, I'm also the guy that got mad because I couldn't understand how they were cooking underwater in SpongeBob.
Watch SpongeBob.
They did. And that's why.
There was the one time where they're like, how do we have a campfire going? Good question. And then it immediately distinguishes.
I saw a fly buzzing around underwater.
Yeah.
It's a water fly.
Science me.
Science me. That sounds like the dirtiest thing you'll say on this episode.
No, it's not.
Talking to Adam, the guy who does like the sound and video stuff for CCW, on Friday, he mentioned like that was one of the first things he noticed as Raw went on the air is that they didn't have the LEDs. Like, that's what I do. They didn't have it there. So something's up. And then at the end of the night, they're up at the top turnbuckle like, oh, there it is.
It's like when you're watching a cartoon mm-hmm. and you notice everything looks like a static image, but there's
except
one
there's
thing.
There's one thing
that's a little
out.
Bit more colored in everything
and
else.
And you know it's going to move at some point.
Yep. Yep, that barrel's going through a window.
All right, Mick Foley got his surgery. That's good news. Yeah. I saw the pictures Noel posted of it, and yeah, good on him.
To commemorate, I got my Cactus Jack figure finally.
You just did that for you.
Yeah, but say, I'm sure Mick Foley's sitting in his bed right now thanking God.
That you paid.
He's at his bedside, by the way.
He's so excited you paid a scalper for his action figure.
But I have it.
Good for you.
Get well, Mick.
Oh, shut up. All right.
I've always loved Mick Foley.
Don't spit your Gatorade out.
I didn't put it on there, but there are two things I want to mention from Raw and SmackDown. SmackDown being the new slogan that they got. screw it, I guess. Because we have Jinder Mahal as the number one contender.
Yes.
Who had a really good segment.
He did.
Like, I like that segment a lot with
I
the
think
Bollywood
Jinder
boys.
Mahal looks like a legit contender.
He does.
I hope they keep it going after he loses.
yeah. And then also, Breezango, number one contenders to the tag team titles.
And you know, when.
And again, it's like, I love Breezango. Yeah. I like Jinder Mahal. I'm not upset that they are in the position that they're in. I'm upset that we are just immediately now supposed to believe, no, they belong there, mm-hmm. after having months and months and months of them just blatantly telling us, look who they can't beat. Everyone.
It's the Zack Ryder complex.
Yeah.
Like, build Zack Ryder up once a year to get destroyed, and then he's worthless again for however long.
If this means that Breezango are official, like, faces now, though, I'm very much on board of that. Because they can do their shtick. And get cheered for it.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
And Tyler Breeze is just so cute.
And he's so good.
I couldn't help but notice on this last episode, he is so handsome. And I know that was his gimmick.
Would you say he's gorgeous?
He's gorgeous.
Asa for the win.
When we watched it, I knew as soon as they went 5 minutes, I just had a feeling that they weren't going to get it.
Yeah.
But I really thought it was going to be Ascension.
Oh, yeah.
I did, but it makes more sense because the Usos are basically faces, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting cheered
every time
they go out.
Only in cape.
Yeah.
You weren't there for that.
On SmackDown, too, they were getting
cheered
quite
pretty
a bit.
Heavily, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it'll be a great match, too. And it's fresh. It's not something... Dalton, you okay?
It is a fresh matchup. And it's the same thing,
is
like...
Dalton ever okay?
I think I finally stroked out. People are cheering the Usos?
A lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think if American Alpha had better character, other than we wrestle real good...
Yeah,
I think people would be more eager to be behind them.
They kind of have that
same
problem.
There's nothing really to latch onto them.
It's the same problem that the World's Greatest Tag Team had.
Yeah.
Like, once you get... And then, you know, Shelton Benjamin tried so long for so hard to get over as a character. They gave him gold hair, which was stupid. They gave him a mama.
The gold standard of ECW.
The mama was before the gold standard.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying. I wasn't going over, But the mama thing was especially bad.
That was
you know what got him over the most? Almost beating Triple H.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Being treated like a serious contender. And then on Raw... as ridiculous as a concept of it was, I loved the dumpster match.
I didn't get to see it.
Against Kalisto. Kalisto versus Big Men. I loved his feud with Corbin.
Yes.
I loved this match with Strowman because it was brutal. It was hard-hitting. Kalisto has a new look. He kind of looks like Drago from
Lucha Underground. Yeah, but he looked like a Lucha Underground.
He has new music, which is a little bit edgier as opposed to the super, like...
Lucha. Oh, that's a shame because I really like the Lucha music.
He still has the Lucha, like the Lucha, but it's a little bit faster paced and it's got a little bit more of an edge to it.
I'll listen to it when we get there.
And so it's... And he did really well. And then he won the match. Which, as Michael Cole said, that might have been the dumbest thing he could have done.
Yeah, uh-huh. Because it's one of those things that you won the you won the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You're not about
to lose the war.
You lost the war.
He had that the phone dropping your phone off the bottom step, dumpster drop. So I hope they keep doing stuff with Kalisto because I really like him. And Strowman again just looked like an unstoppable monster who will be stopped on Sunday because it's payback.
I think Strowman's gonna win the match.
Who's he wrestling?
Roman Reigns.
Nope.
No, I think he is. I think Strowman's going to win the match because I think they're going to cool off on Roman Reigns for a little while because
I think he'll win this match but it'll be like cheating or he won't win it clean.
Roman Reigns?
Strowman.
Okay.
Strowman will win, but it won't be clean. It'll be dirty. It'll be Reigns is still injured from having the ambulance flipped.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, the only reason I say
and then it, maybe they'll acknowledge that the Universal Championship is on Raw.
I think the only reason I say it is because I think that they're going to put Strowman in a program with Lesnar before they put Lesnar in the program with Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're going to have, because they've shown before that they're not scared to let Reigns lose when he needs to.
That's true, but I swear if they have him beat Undertaker at Mania.
Just to lose to Reigns
Strowman at Payback, and that's not a shot at Strowman at all.
No.
But whenever Lesnar beat Taker at Mania, he won the World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam. So the precedent is he should win every match he's in for a good long while.
I think they have more faith in Lesnar than Reigns.
Which is sad.
Which is insane. And that,
I mean, I don't know. Everything about Lesnar as presented by WWE, I can't say it tonight.
I know.
Is more believable than everything about Roman Reigns as presented by WWE. Because we all know that Roman Reigns is a huge, intimidating, like, charismatic guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
WWE portrays him as an underdog who is lucky to win any match.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that.
It's the worst. It's that Jim Ross putting him over more in 20 seconds on his way to the ring than anyone else has.
Jim Ross should be the only person allowed to do Roman Reigns matches.
Where is Jim Ross? They hired him back. Haven't seen
him. He was never going to be full-time. Mm-mm. Those were always going to be really sporadic appearances.
Which they did sign him to a contract, though. 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
appearances and like commentary and like DVDs.
And now he can't do New Japan.
Maybe stuff for the network, keeping him
and
away from New
Japan.
And
hopefully maybe backstage stuff. Because he was talent VP for
a while.
And brought in a lot of great guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. All right. So
also, Seth Rollins got a new finisher.
Yes.
It's awesome.
We call it the Painmaker.
That's news to me.
It's like the Rainmaker, but it's
The jumping knee strike.
It's the jumping knee strike. It's a great finisher.
I like it a lot.
Also, we're going to find out. I know we said we were going to do a Payback preview because it's on Sunday.
I didn't even put it on the preview for the show I forgot. I learned Payback was on Sunday on Monday.
He did.
And then I was like, oh, we need to preview that. The only thing we really have to preview is that no one knows what a House of Horrors match is, including Vince McMahon. And Randy Orton said the line of the night on SmackDown. I don't even remember what it was.
I don't know
what a House of Horrors match is, but I got a feeling I'll find out on Sunday.
When I'm in the match.
When you're in the House of Horrors match.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I can't wait for the House of Horrors match. It's like me getting ready to watch Birdemic for the first time.
I will say I'm happy that it's not for the title because I know Wyatt at least has a chance to win it.
Do you like train wrecks?
I still think Jinder Mahal and the Bollywood Boys cost Orton the match.
As long as it's not for the title, so it doesn't matter.
As long as Wyatt wins his match, that's just win it.
Yeah,
we need
to win this match so we can lose to Balor.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good match.
I don't know if I heard
fantastic match.
I don't know if I heard this wrong or not, but I think someone said like the House of Horrors match starts like somewhere outside of the arena and
it's going to be pre-taped.
And it's supposed to finish in the ring.
See, I don't think so. Maybe it is, but I
thought they said that on Raw, but that could have just been like, what if it is this thing? I don't.
Because he basically said it's a house.
Yeah.
And every room you go into will be your darkest nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dumbest shit
I swear to God,
ever heard.
If it's just a three stages of hell match, I'm going to be really upset.
I would be way more on board with that.
Yeah, because I fully believe this is going to be. Remember when they tried to do the Wyatts versus the New Day?
And they did it on the compound?
Lucha Underground style, Matt Hardy style?
No, yeah, it was a very total nonstop deletion. That was not a Lucha Underground.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I say Lucha Underground in the sense that it was clearly choreographed.
Yeah.
It was clearly taped, like a movie.
It was produced.
Ahead of time, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this is going to be. And yeah. It's going to have terrible things. There's going to be trick photography. There's going to be extras and masks.
There's going to be cameras. In
that one
places.
Dude from The Walking Dead is going to be there.
Santiago Dickface? Yeah. Congratulations to him. I heard Austin Lane wants to stretch him, and I support it.
We fully endorse the idea of that.
Speaking of, let's jump into this. Yeah. Girl Fight first.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, here's the bad news. Myself and Allie did not get to attend Girl Fight. We were working the Game of Grounds booth at Comic-Con, which, if you don't know, listen to last night's show. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. We did not get to see Girl Fight, so I'm going to hand this over to Dalton and Asa because they know what
they know what to do. It was – I'm so sad that you guys missed it because it was such an amazing show. Like it was as good as Super Show.
Easily. I really wanted to see Mickey Knuckles wrestle.
And she was amazing.
She did such a great job. There was not a single wrestler at that show that did not put on an amazing match.
That I did not then because I only knew our home team.
Sarah and Marnie
Sarah and Mickey.
No, I was familiar with Mickey Knuckles. I was familiar with Leva Bates.
I'd heard the names. And I knew Leva Bates, and I had heard of Mickey Knuckles before. But I couldn't. I don't know if I'd ever seen anything.
This
that
is
done
the
yet.
Part of the show where I go back to what I said before we started taping, where I said I wasn't a Leva Bates fan. I never was a big fan of Blue Pants. I didn't get it, and maybe I just didn't get it at the time. But seeing her at the Super Show, totally on board. She was just the coolest.
Do you like Zack Ryder?
I love Zack Ryder.
Then you would love Leva Bates because it's the same thing where she got herself over with the goofiest thing.
I do love Leva Bates.
Love
is one of my favorites.
We're not doing it.
Withdrawn.
Yeah.
It was such a good show. The first round was Mardi Gras versus Nikki Lane, which Sarah cost Mardi Gras the match.
Yep.
Which then it was Sarah versus Leva. Who Sarah took just the prettiest unprettier.
If Sarah Summer only takes unprettier for the rest of her wrestling career, I will be happy because she sells that like a champion.
But we don't want her to get less pretty.
Right. No, of course not.
Because she is a very pretty lady.
But the reason she was able to hit that is because then Little Bit then came out and cost her that match. Which that was the thing that I loved is that they used they used Girl Fight to help kind of push the story for that tag team match that we saw at the Super Show. But that's a little bit
later. It was definitely its own thing.
Yeah.
But they did – CCW got
because
their
moment. Because
this was
the Luna Vachon Memorial tournament. This was
– also by Madman Pondo.
Yep. And so the other matches in the first round were Miss Monica versus Mickey Knuckles. And it was Amazing Maria versus Lainey Luck.
Lainey Luck, yeah.
And I want to take this moment – to formally apologize, Jason, I know you're listening to this. If you could send an email on my behalf, I would appreciate it. Because Miss Monica's character, she comes out with the Italian flag. She's speaking Italian. She has the thick accent. Tells the fans to shut up when they're chanting USA, which we did a lot.
Yeah.
And she really didn't like that. And I was under the impression that Miss Monica was like a lot of the other talent that have been brought into CCW were from like Arkansas or Tennessee or Illinois or Missouri, wherever. Like,
she was playing a character.
They're all in the Midwest. Yeah. She was wrestling in jean shorts. I don't know any Italians that wrestle in jean shorts.
Maybe
Santino, but that just.
The full blooded Italians, I think. One of them did. Vito wrestled in a dress.
Yeah.
That's true. So. To throw it at the bad guy, she's being mean to the fans.
How far do you want to go with this?
I'm just saying, I said some things that were pretty inflammatory toward the Italian people. When it turns out that, oh no, she's actually full-blooded Italian,
if
I feel like such a piece of human garbage. And I genuinely hope she knows that it was all in the context of a wrestling thing.
She went back to Italy. She's never coming back to America.
So I really do want to apologize because it got kind of bad.
And if you want to know what Asa said,
it doesn't work. Don't shut up, Dalton.
Please email me at whatdidasasay@podzilla.com.
Dalton.
At all.
I feel really bad. I feel bad.
And what's funny about that is that it's Asa. Because, other than Allie, Asa's like the most respectful one amongst us.
Yeah.
And it's only funny because he didn't know.
Yeah. I had no idea. I had no idea. I feel like the worst person. But her match with Mickey Knuckles was really, really good. She attacked the shoulder, which played up the rest of the night. And it was her, because Mickey Knuckles is a bigger girl. She,
Yeah.
Slams hard, hits hard. is a little bit nuts. She comes out with the decorated stick that was wearing a tutu.
Yeah, it was pretty much psycho.
So she went full on psycho. Kind of psycho.
She let
the
she,
best part is every match she had a different person hold all of the gimmicks, like the head and the
she
skirt.
She didn't just leave it at the turnbuckle. She like handed it off to people in the crowd. And yeah, collected it at the after each match.
I think it's important too that we mention. I do know this that our good friend Kelly was the ring announcer for that show.
Yes.
He did such a good
job. He did a really good job.
He actually told us, he's like, no, I do that a lot.
Yeah,
like,
this is the only place he referees.
Yeah, like, at the panel, he said he was a manager.
He manages a lot.
Yeah.
So, and then the other match was Amazing Maria against Lainey Luck. And then Amazing Maria was amazing. Like, that's, there's a reason that's her name.
She's so mean.
She was so mean.
To me. Like, it was just to me. I didn't see her really be mean to anybody else but me.
Because she knows.
But also, there wasn't a whole lot of people there. Like, the turnout was low, unfortunately. And I'm hoping if they do this again, like, word of mouth will spread and more people will go because this was an amazing show.
Well, like Megan said on Facebook, it was on a Friday night. It was raining. Comic-Con was happening.
And Jeff and Sarge both mentioned that, like, all women shows tend not to be huge draws compared to, like...
Unfortunately. Which is stupid.
Which is unfortunate.
Because it was...
And to their credit, you would never know it by just like the quality of the ring action. No one went in there and like phoned it in. That they could have sold out the entire arena building, or you know, 10 people could have shown up, and those matches would have been the same. And it was incredible.
You know what that's called? Professionalism.
Yeah. It's the same thing like Austin Lane was talking about when we had him on the show of just
if I'm wrestling in front of 2,000 or two, I'm doing the same stuff.
Well,
no matter what.
I mean, not. Mm-hmm. Never to compare that to us, but when we started this show, we were doing to an audience of 20 people, and we did our best.
Yeah.
No matter how many people listened.
70% of that
was us.
Listening back to it.
Now, Dalton, I heard you got some pretty good pictures of the show.
Yeah. Girl Fight, I got a really, really good one. You can go to my Facebook page.
Or you can go to Austin Lane's Twitter, too.
Yeah, you can also go to Austin Lane's Twitter. And any picture he's posted about CCW, just know that that was from me. Mm-hmm. Not Little Fitty. They were all me. She'll be posting hers up later.
She's still working on
it. So I've decided that I'm going to make a watermark for all my photos from now on. And it's just going to be a picture of Austin's face with the Ghostbusters logo in it. Cody's not going to get the bit, but everybody else will.
All right. You legitimately, that's very funny.
You know, you have to actually go in and edit photos to get that.
I'll do the extra work now. Now that I know that they get retweeted a lot.
Have Austin do it for you.
Austin, can you do that for me?
Yeah, brother.
Austin?
I'm trying to think of how the matches went in the second round.
So it was...
Was it Leva and then...
I want to say it was Leva and Nikki and then Amazing Red Mickey Knuckles.
Yeah, because Amazing Maria...
Also,
not Amazing
Red.
Oh, Amazing Red. Sorry, Maria. It was Amazing Maria.
Amazing Maria really worked the shoulder and then... Nikki really worked the leg on Leva. So Leva had a bad leg. Mickey had a bad shoulder. The finals were Mickey versus Leva. That match was amazing because – so they stayed, you know, face-to-face. It wasn't like the tag team tournament where the LA Hustlers kind of started to play to the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
They stayed and they made an agreement that Leva wouldn't go for Mickey's shoulder and Mickey wouldn't go for Leva's knee.
Do you remember the picture that I posted of the move? Yeah, she was in a crippler crossface.
She was right. And I even yelled, I was like, you said you weren't going to attack the shoulder. And she just looks at me and shrugs.
It was there.
And then the end of the tournament, at the afterwards, as Mickey Knuckles won, she cut a really great speech about how much Luna Vachon meant to her and to women's wrestling in general.
We didn't mention Mickey Knuckles the entire time had the Luna face paint.
Yeah.
Like she had the one contact in and then she also had the like the veins face paint that you know Luna Vachon for.
Luna Vachon, and just to talk about Luna Vachon for a second, was just a pioneer in women's wrestling and wrestling in general. Mm-hmm. I still remember playing, I think it was WWF Raw on Super Nintendo.
Yes.
Luna Vachon was a character. She was the only female character in an all-male game. Mm-hmm. That's how tough she was.
Yeah.
Was it Raw?
I think it was Attitude. But so Sable was also on that one.
Well, no, this was even before that. This was on Super Nintendo.
Yep, you're right. She's on that one.
Quang was on the one.
I was thinking of Warzone. That was my fault.
But yeah, Luna Vachon was incredible. She was married to Gangrel for many, many years. She passed away, unfortunately, a couple years ago, obviously. That's why the memorial.
Right.
But yeah, she was cool. She was really cool.
So after she cut her speech, Nikki and Sarah attacked her. Mardi Gras came out for the save to really push forward that tag team match that they had at Super Show.
Right.
Which, again, that was just a little touch that a little bit of continuity to tie in the two events. Because even though this wasn't, like, CCW hosted it, this was...
It was Pondo.
Excuse me.
It was very much Pondo's... Girl Fight.
So, like, if you're listening and you see, a girl fight poster pop up near you, Make it a point to go to it because those tournaments are awesome. Like they have, I don't know if they're using like a consistent group or this is just the tournament that we got. Mm-hmm. But it was so good. Like
we told Jay, we ran into Jason, before the during the intermission before the final match. And he asked us like, so who do you want to see, you know, who do you want to see come back? And my answer was yes.
I said all of them. I was like, if you can get any of them, I'd be super happy.
Because
and I think they would all love to come back.
I hope so.
Other than Miss Monica. That's unfortunate.
Again, Jason, I need you to send that email because I am very sorry. I feel so bad.
I wish we could have seen it. I really would have.
It was really good. That was as fun as it was. I think you guys would have, it would have made it a lot more like, cause we were next to Jared and Nia mm-hmm. the entire time and they were fun to sit by, but it would have really been cool to have you guys next to us too.
Yeah. Cause mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine a CCW event, even if they're hosting without us. Mm-hmm. Like we're so ingrained in that audience front row that, you know,
I also think that's why Maria kind of gave us crap because like targeted, but we were also like we were still probably the more vocal
the
people.
Super loud
like,
oh yeah
because for the turnout being low the crowd was into everything.
Yep, there was not a single person that was sitting on their like hands like it was
exact the, Price was there too
if yeah every person that was there wanted to be there
and was they, cheering and supporting and that's like good. Which that's was awesome. That was awesome because as we're sitting and waiting for the show to start we're like oh man it's got we're like we're going to be the guy, like, we're going to be the clowns just being loud and obnoxious, but
And you don't want everybody else sitting on their hands.
Right.
Yeah.
And were we clowns? Yes. But were everybody else? Yes.
But so was everybody else.
It was such a good crowd. For it being as small as it was still, an amazing crowd.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen it.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
Now, I was there for the next night, though.
Yes.
Yes, you were.
CCW Super Show. And I don't even know where you start with this. I guess I start by saying that I got there, Allie and I got there about 6:30. And by the time we got there, you guys were running around backstage like chickens with your heads cut off.
Yeah.
That was hectic.
Yeah. Because as you well know, our CCW guys, Asa and Dalton, do interviews for it. And you guys interviewed Leva Bates. You interviewed Sarge and Roscoe
Wheat
Lisa.
Yeah,
you want to say the ones you got and then I'll say the ones I got?
I interviewed Sarge and Roscoe Wheat Lisa, which I'm so excited for people to see that. Like, I'm excited to see it because I hope it turned out as well as it was filmed. I interviewed Davey Vega, which was really exciting. He was so nice.
He was the first show Allie and I and Tanner went to. Mm-hmm. So good.
I interviewed Hollis. And was there another one?
No, you did three.
That was the three.
Yeah, because you had those three. I had Brandon again, which I've just come to realize that I love Brandon cutting promos.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I think he's the best promo in CCW.
I make jokes about him yelling at me every time. But God, every time he yells at me, it makes me just believe every, like he has me on the edge of every word.
He can go to 0 to 100, like.
And it's so cool seeing him pop in and out of that. Cause of course we were messing around cause we're friends. We were messing around beforehand and the second he says, all right, we're ready. And he cuts into it so quick. And then I got the privilege of having Little Bit and Leva Bates, which was just a thrill and a half.
And then that's the one that when I saw Dalton afterwards, he runs up to me and like kisses me on the cheek and says, I love you so much.
Yeah. That's a true story. And then
welcome.
I'm aware. You get to pick next three shows and next star.
But it won't be Leva Bates. She was just the best.
She was. She was really cool. And then I also got Billy and Dell. And that was the one that I was most upset at myself because I was doing such a good job not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Billy starts yelling at me and I'm still not laughing. And then Dell Tucker, who is now my new favorite person, leans over Billy's shoulder and goes, Farmer in the Dell. And I cracked a smile. I didn't laugh.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
They cracked me up.
And the reason that we did more than what we usually do is actually they announced at the very beginning that they were recording it, which we were kind of – we were in the know that they were going to start recording it, and they're doing it for a DVD.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
surprise.
So
has
yeah.
this been confirmed?
Yes.
Yeah. They announced it at the show. That was like the first
the show. You know the show you were at?
But has the other part of it been confirmed? Of us and the DVD.
Oh well, yeah, no, we're like 95% sure that our segments are going to be in it because they didn't film them this time. Like they didn't.
That's not what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about the commentary for the DVD.
Oh, yeah, no, we're doing that.
You said Jason okayed it, but I don't want to like Jason go. Oh shit, no, that wasn't okay.
I said commentary.
I changed my mind.
No, yeah.
Okay, you know what? Well, let's not talk about it. We'll just skip it. We'll save it for a future thing.
Pass over it.
Pass over it. All right. So while you guys were doing that. Just pretend. All right, everybody listening, close your eyes. And it's like butterfly effect. Just think back 20, 30 seconds ago and go back in time.
And then listen to us bumble
over
that
again. And don't listen to it again. No. All right, so while you guys were doing that, Allie and I and Johnny Atwood and Johnny's boyfriend and I think Zach Price. No, we didn't see him yet. Him and Tony. Yeah, him and Tony.
Yeah, they walked in with us.
We ran into, and JR, of course. Mm-hmm. We ran into Dexter Roswell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Nathan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we hung out with them for a little bit, and that was a lot of fun because Dexter Roswell is just the nicest guy in the world.
He's so much fun. Garrett is.
You had an awkward Yeah. You had an awkward handshake with him because you interrupted my handshake with him.
I wanted to beat the Ace of Gray handshake, so what?
As he's going to give me a handshake, Shannon, like, jumps in there. I was like, oh, hey.
Mr. 100, tops, not actually a bear.
Rude.
Every time.
Rude.
So they were cool. We hung out with them for quite a bit, waiting for you guys. I'm, like, looking around, and I saw Dalton.
Because we were darting, or we were darting around.
You were running around. All right, crazy. So all of Ace's gets done at, like, what, 5:50? You were done?
Ish.
Yeah,
maybe.
You got done right around 6. All of mine, I didn't even do any by 6. Show starts at 7. Doors open at 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the show starts around 7:05.
I was flying around that arena. We were trying to, I corralled a little bit and you corralled Blue Pants. Mm-hmm. And we finally got to do that one.
Does anyone still call her Blue Pants?
Yeah.
Is it just Leva?
I mean, we called her Leva.
Okay. Yeah. But,
so you get to put a ring together.
That was fun. Also, I want to give a shout out because I'm not sure if they listened to the show, but they said they recognized me from doing the first batch of the backstage interviews that we did.
Yeah.
And I'm terrible with names, so if I get these wrong, I'm really sorry. But big shout out to Jordan and Jamie for showing. There was just two CCW fans who showed up to help put the ring together. And if they hadn't shown up, it would have just.
Do you know
Jamie's
last name?
I don't. Okay. I think they're brothers.
We'll talk after this.
But they were at Girl Fight. They were also at Super Show.
Right.
But if they hadn't shown up, it would have been just me and Jeff O'Dell putting the ring together until Robert came, which he's like an actual wrestler. So he had some man strength that I was sorely lacking.
You needed that 5-star strength.
As me being sore for like 2 days after.
Right.
Because rings are heavy.
I do like
that. I was super excited to help. And then to be able to do, like, and actually see how it all comes together.
It's
and,
a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
It's like
that was like,
now.
Yeah, that was so cool.
All right. Now let's get into the actual show. Mm-hmm. So they promoted this as the Super Show and it lived up to the hype. I really think by far my favorite CCW show so far. And we say that every show. Mm-hmm. Every show we're like,
they
that's
keep topping
my
favorite. Each other.
Yeah. This one had surprises. It had great wrestling. It had everything you look for in a wrestling show. And it is a reminder of why Cape Championship Wrestling is, I think I can say this without hyperbole, is the premier indie federation in this area for sure. And I think the country. But I don't have a lot of experience with other ones.
Definitely in the Midwest, I'd say.
Definitely in the Midwest. From top to bottom, it was good. Do you guys want to do an actual match by match thing?
I would like to, because I feel like everyone did such a good job. They deserve to be.
We started off with
Sin versus Ace Hawkins for the Missouri Wrestling Revival Championship.
And Jason warned us. He said, wait till you see Sin in a one-on-one match. Wait till you see what he can do. He was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was all over the place. And of course, Ace Hawkins is one of our favorites.
Oh, yeah.
He got to cut a promo. Which was great. He's great at that.
I felt really bad because I didn't end up buying one of those shirts because I really wanted one.
I'm super bummed out that you weren't at the Stride show where he was a face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so unusual seeing him, though, without the eye makeup.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You made a comment. You're like, I miss the guy liner. And he just kind of smiled at you.
Yeah, But Ace Hawkins is so incredible, and I absolutely love him. And Sin definitely showed us something.
Sin was great. Because Jason was right when he said, because so far we'd only seen him in tag team matches.
With Blaster.
And so to see him do a one-on-one match in that opening spot was just so good.
It definitely got the crowd excited from the beginning to put on a high-impact, high-flying, fast-paced match. Mm-hmm.
Ace Hawkins' character work, too, of just the bad guy wanting to go, like, going to the outside, stalling.
It was a great match. Mm-hmm. And I can't give enough credit to Sin especially, but especially to Ace Hawkins. He just continues to be just one of my absolute favorites.
I really hope we get a rematch.
I do too. Because there were
shenanigans. I don't know if it'll be the next show or not. But
I don't either, because I think the next show, Sin's teaming up with Blaster again, but we'll explain why here in a little bit. So that was your opening match. It was great. Of course, we didn't mention one, Ken came out and welcomed the crowd, and Ken didn't do the ring announcing for the show. It's important to notice. But he did do, like, the winners, and he did come out and say a couple things. And I know we've said this a million times this weekend, but I would like to say it once again to not just Ken, but to Jason and Big Lee, that those guys put together such a good show, and Ken especially for Comic-Con, just the entire weekend, deserves so much credit for being just the biggest hero of Cape Girardeau. I hope you know we're not just trying to kiss your ass when we tell you guys this, but it was so good, and you guys are amazing. You really, really are.
Yeah.
Now, Dalton, why did Ken not do the ring announcing?
because we have a new ring announcer, and I hope we keep him because he was really great.
He was real good.
So good.
Now, this is the name that I was sent. So no, I'm not being funny. This guy's name, Big Curtis.
I can see why. Yeah. He was big.
Yeah. He was a big dude.
Yeah.
But that voice.
Him carrying Mikey was funny.
Yeah, that was great. He was very professional. But whenever somebody came up to him to do a funny bit, he did it every time.
Yeah, he played along.
He was right next to us, and he was so good.
He was talking to me and Allie the entire time.
Yeah,
he just was. Cracking jokes and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And he, like.
What was the one? I don't want to say exactly what he said because it wasn't PG, but it was something about vampire disco music. Whose music was he making fun of? You remember?
Oh, Damone.
Yeah. He didn't get Damone, I don't think.
No, because the music hit and then he actually saw him. It was like, oh, yeah, what's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
Not that Ken didn't do a good job, because he did, but like he definitely lends a sense of credibility like to it, because he has that just big projecting loud voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That even, you know, into the microphone, like it really sounded like legit.
Yeah, he sounded like he does this for a profession.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was really good, and I agree. I hope he comes back.
It's really neat to see CCW piecing things together.
Yeah.
Like we a couple shows ago, we got the real ring bell. Mm-hmm. Like they're not using the sound file anymore. We have the,
with the new Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. The Star Spangled Banner is a lot better. It's not the
5 minute long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a ring announcer that is
a ring announcer,
like an actual ring announcer. Not that anything that before that was bad. It's really neat. Now we have more photographers around the ring getting
it's professional more shots. More legit.
Eli, the guy who, the cameraman for our segments, who was great.
Shout out to Eli. He was amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much to that. But like he was taking video as well for the DVD, because there was one camera on the stage and then he had a camera to go.
He was also very funny.
There was also another camera up on the balcony.
Yeah. And our own Mandy Kennedy was up there as well taking pictures. And she did a couple videos for the show too.
Yeah.
So, you know, stay tuned to Boys Visions.
It's really cool because, like, Ace and I missed the first show. You guys have been there since day one. Mm-hmm. It's really neat to see
I wish you could have seen the first show compared to, like, this past Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
It's the evolution of CCW is incredible.
It's so cool to see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
And to be a part of it, again, is mind blowing. Mm-hmm.
I went up and shaked everybody's hand that I could and just been like,
You shook everybody's hand.
Shook everyone's hand.
Shaked is not a word.
Shake Damone.
Did you say shake Damone?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what was the next match?
I don't know. What's the next match?
I don't know. I thought you guys had this.
Do we not have the? It was the six man. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
What's that? That you guys had this already? I'm just the host.
I flat out said pre-show. Let's not do it by order.
And I point.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing it in order.
All right, good. Let's not do it in order.
But I think the six man was next. It was Sexy Sarge O'Reilly and Roscoe Eatlisa, Mikey and Zach against the LA Hustlers. And Red Daniels from Stride.
Yes.
That match was so much fun.
It was.
Sarge combined with Roscoe Eatlisa versus the Hustlers, who are so good at being the Hustlers.
Yeah.
And then Red Daniels thrown into the mix too, someone we've really come close to the past couple of months.
I felt so bad for Red. Because he took a stink face from Sarge.
He smells stinky.
I don't know if you can call it a stink face.
Yeah, but I said that was probably the most delightful stink face in the world.
I would call it the fragrant face.
Although, I did talk to him after the show, and I was like, so how was that? And he's like, it sucked. Just like, oh shit. Of course that wasn't fun.
I felt bad for Red because at first, he almost looked like a deer in headlights to be in the ring with these already established huge people, but he adapted so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
He was so good at what he did, and I hope Red comes back for more events.
I want him back because he's just...
And the Hustlers and Roscoe Eatlisa and Sarge, please.
I don't know what it's called, but when they do the stunner into the Yoshitonic...
Yeah.
Oh.
He took that so pretty.
Yeah.
And, like, when the... Because this was originally supposed to be JD. Mm-hmm. Like... JD, it's real easy to see picture taking that move. Red's a big guy. And I was genuinely very impressed with how smooth that looked.
That was probably my favorite move of the night, honestly, because it was just so pretty.
And it's such a great tag team move.
I
saw them do it. Like, I saw a GIF of it, I think, on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And it's so pretty.
And it was a good match. It was a great match.
Roscoe Eatlisa and Sarge just being those, you know, over the top, just outlandish characters.
So I got to put a dollar in Sarge's thong
again.
Uh-huh. And Mandy got a picture of it.
He made a killing.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. Like,
and then
he tried
to hand it to Kelly, and Kelly was like, no.
Why not, Kelly? It smells fantastic.
And it's money.
Sarge comes around, he sees us, and of course, we're friends with Sarge, so, you know, he's going to go for the handshake or whatever. But then I put the dollar up, and he just kind of bends over and pulls his pants down. And I was like,
yeah. I like how you're saying it like you're shocked. Like, yeah. You didn't know he was going to do that.
Well, Mandy got a picture of it. Mandy said, I look like I'm so ashamed of myself. But I wasn't.
No.
That's the joke. Sarge and Roscoe Elise to pick up the win.
Yep. Oh, it was such a good match.
And it was a really good match. That like, I think that was probably my most entertaining match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, Roscoe Elise and Sarge together is just
And the crowd
so
was behind
fun.
All three of them for different reasons too. Like it was great.
After that we had.
Would that have been our women's tag? Let's talk about the women's tag team match.
Sure.
I believe it was.
So it was Nikki Lane and Sarah Summers versus Leva Bates and Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. Sure it wasn't the three way?
No, the three-way was after intermission.
It was after intermission.
Because that was the first match after intermission.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed this match. Nikki and Sarah come out with the Pinnacle. Apparently now Nikki's
well,
part.
Well, Nikki and Sarah came out, and then the Pinnacle caught up. Jeff and Marco caught up.
Well,
apparently Marco was drunk. Is what Jeff said at the panel the next day.
Jeff did say that.
Did he?
Yeah, he said Marco was drunk. Because Marco started in leprechaun tights.
Yep.
Then he went to capri tights with suspenders.
Yep.
Then he went to just underwear.
Just
basically.
Briefs.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up briefs running
that
around.
That was a thing. That happened.
Leva chasing him around was hilarious.
Going,
Marco was dancing
with me.
Come here and dance. Like, with arms extended, like, grabby hands as he's just sprinting away from her.
She grabbed at him and then made the put you in my pocket motion. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite.
Marco coming by and said, I wish I would have tripped. Made me laugh. But no, that she came out as Star-Lord because that's Leva Bates' thing.
To the Ooga Chaka Ooga Chaka.
Yeah. Because, Girl Fight, she was wearing Fallout. She was wearing her Fallout gear.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn it.
See, the picture that I had, she already took the top, like the Fallout top off at that point. Mm-hmm. But it was the 113.
The full Vault Boy suit, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was so cool. But yeah, no. So
also, at CC, you didn't see it at Super Show, but her music for Girl Fight was I'm Blue, Dabba Dee Dabba Die.
Thank God, I hate that song.
Oh, it works so well with her.
You would have heard it a lot.
Because
she wrestled three times. And she won twice.
Pass. Hard pass. I hate that song.
Oh, you're wrong.
And the people that made that song should be ashamed of themselves. That's why they all died.
I don't think they're all dead.
I don't think any of them are dead.
And I'm on the Googles.
So that match was really good, too. And we're so happy that Nikki Lane has joined the CCW roster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because she's so good at what she does. And someone mentioned how strong she is. She really is.
No, yeah.
Just buff. Like, mm-hmm. That is crazy. Sarah's always a talent.
I really liked they did the tag team thing that you see a lot where they're doing the beatdown in opposite corners. And then they do the hope spot and it turns around and then they reverse it, but then they reverse the reverse. Like, that whole sequence was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match. And I don't know what else to say other than I became such a big Leva Bates fan during that match because I didn't see her girl fight.
Because,
as soon as she comes out with the Star-Lord outfit, I was like, oh, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And then she takes the jacket off and she's just standing there, and I was like, wow, I never realized. And again, I'm not trying to base her talent on her attractiveness,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't realize how pretty she is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then she wrestles so well and is so much fun to see. It's like she is just the triple perfect threat.
Her and Mardi Gras worked really well together,
too.
Yeah.
They did. They looked like a tag team that belonged together.
They really did,
Like when we saw, was it Angelina Love helped Mardi Gras at the last show or the show before that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really buy it. Like you could tell, okay, they brought Angelina Love in and she's there to help. But I bought Leva Bates and Mardi Gras together. Yeah, totally.
And it was such a good match. Again, Sarah took the Imprettier and
she also took that turnbuckle spot she like trips into the second turnbuckle.
I don't know if you guys, I think
that
was
in our corner and it just looked so,
I tell you what else looked, was when, Nikki Lane was in the corner and Leva Bates did that like jumping knee into her.
Which is my line of the night.
Hard.
Yeah.
Was that when she rolled out of the ring and
said those were $5,000?
Yeah, she's like, she popped both of them. Those are $5,000. I was scared she was being true because that looked really hard.
Yeah.
That was the first of very many.
So Girl Fight, because I know we're going back to it, but I was wearing a Nikki Lane shirt the entire time. But I was actively booing her because I didn't really, because her kind of role has not been super defined
until this weekend.
And it was, of course, at Girl Fight that it was super defined, and I'm wearing her shirt. So I start booing her, and the look that she shoots, if it could have killed, you would have been down to a 3-person team. Because she did it like 8 times, and
every time we booed her, she would just glare.
And
she was so disappointed in us.
She's got that glare too.
Oh, yeah. Just piercing eyes, and I was just like, oh God, I felt like that took a year off my life.
Was that another tag match right after that, right?
Then it was intermission. Mm-hmm. Or no. Then it was the tag team.
Because intermission was after the. Man, we had a lot of tag team wrestling on this show.
We did.
Which is awesome.
It was so good.
So we got to see Jeff Cobb and the Blaster, professional wrestler, wrestle Billy and Dell.
Farmer Billy Hills and Dell Tucker.
Farmer and the Dell.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. All right, so we got to meet a lot of these guys backstage. We got to meet a lot of them during the con. You guys met Cole Cabana, obviously. You met Joey Ryan. I talked to Joey Ryan for a little bit about Sega Genesis, which was awesome. But I didn't get to meet Jeff Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Jeff Cobb is like, wow. That dude is a tank.
You need to start watching Lucha Underground, and you need to find Matanza. Because
I can't even pronounce his name. That's why I said Jeff Cobb.
He is such. I mean, you saw him do the standing shooting star press.
And that was impressive, but even more impressive to me was when he grabbed Dell, threw him up, and then caught him in a suplex and slammed him.
Holy God.
How strong is this guy?
The one that was most impressive to me was the deadlift side suplex he gave to Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Because Billy is probably one of the bigger guys in CCW.
Yeah.
And
picked
we're not,
like he was nothing.
We're not used to seeing people manhandle him like that.
Yeah. I don't think he's used to being manhandled. Yeah.
He had a look of surprise on his face, like, what just happened? Also impressive when he did the vertical suplex and held Dell for like an hour and then dropped him.
He did say, we talked to Dell after the show, and he did say, he's like, I wasn't sure if I was ever coming down.
Yeah.
It was like, I live here now.
It was like, this is my life. This is what
I had to change his address. Yeah. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah. It was on Jeff Cobb's shoulder.
Also, I was very happy with Blaster's performance too, because
all right,
jokes aside, I was a little critical of the last show, but I thought he really stepped it up during this one. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a great job, and the match itself was really good.
Yeah.
I thought the match was really good. It's probably the best Blaster match I've seen so far, and I think part of that was because of Jeff Cobb and Billy and Dell.
Yeah,
but Blaster more than held his own, and I was very happy with that.
So Billy and Dell are so in tune with their characters.
Yeah,
just
a perfect tag team,
and it's one of those
them, Dell pretending to be scared of Jeff, and then I want him. I want Blaster. Give me him.
Yeah,
him constantly ducking outside, like out the rope, so he couldn't get to him. Like just everything was so Billy, just the Smash Mouth. Loud.
Yeah.
Anytime Marco was ringside, I told Colt and Jeff Cobb to crush.
I was really that's my one disappointment for the weekend, is that we didn't get to see Jeff Cobb just lawn dart Marco
into orbit.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have stopped.
Like, he didn't have to book a flight home.
No.
Like, he could have just
He's airborne now.
Yeah.
He lives up there in an airship.
Mm-hmm.
Billy used the belt a couple times. I didn't know it was no DQ. You guys told me, thankfully.
Yeah, they announced it was no DQ.
Oh, no, because I forgot, and I looked at Lane, and I was like, Lane, what the? He's like, it's no DQ, and I was like, oh, yeah,
that's
I forgot.
Just belt hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest surprise of the night, and
well,
probably
they tried to handcuff. They handcuffed Jeff
Cobb. Yeah, handcuffed Jeff
Cobb. To the turnbuckle, to the opposite turnbuckle.
And Pinnacle's going to win again. They're going to screw Blaster over again, and then in the biggest reaction I think I've ever heard live for anything.
A familiar tune hits.
Freaking Ron Simmons music hits. Mm-hmm. And my first thought, as stupid as Shannon Young is.
Damn.
Is no, I thought, who's using Ron Simmons music?
My first thought, honestly, because I didn't watch Ron Simmons whenever he was big, was, why are they playing music right now? Did they accidentally hit a button?
Yeah.
Damn it, Adam.
What did you accidentally
hit? And then everyone was standing up and looking. I was like, oh no, someone's here.
Someone's important here.
So your stupid Shannon at least recognized it was Ron Simmons music. Stupid Asa thought it was Taz.
I could see that.
Just that initial dirt. Yeah. So I was like, and then all of a sudden that, you know, the riff hits that were that squeal. Yeah. And I'm just like, Oh my God. And then he comes out for the distraction.
First black world champion of college football great, Ron Simmons. Oh my God. And stupid Osby, afterwards tells me, I told you he was going to have protection. Shut your mouth, you stupid idiot.
Yeah, Jason is so proud of that one. He was like, well, I told him that he was going to have extra protection.
Shut all of your mouths.
I'm going to have to start paying way more attention, because Jason also told us, like, I love putting little Easter eggs like that.
Yeah,
I put them in all the shows.
He's like, Breaking Bad. Like,
okay, yeah.
Ron Simmons comes out for the distraction. Blaster and Jeff Cobb win the titles.
New CCW tag team champions.
I said this on Facebook. I said, you know, because I messaged Glenn Blaster, and I actually posted on Facebook. I was like, if we had anything to do with you winning the title, like with your success, because a lot of people would say, I forget who it was that basically said, no, you guys are the reason he's the champion.
I think it was him.
Well, no, it was somebody at this show, though, or
it was
at the panel, but it was another wrestler, I believe. Mm-hmm. They were just like, no, you're the reason he has
the titles. I think it was Jason Wells that said it.
It may have been. Yeah. May have been. But point is, I told Blaster, like, you are a great wrestler. This was all you. Mm-hmm. If we had anything to do with it, we are so humble and grateful. Mm-hmm. But I was so happy that Blaster won a title.
I love how much the Pinnacle complains about an interference ruining a match.
They shut their mouth.
We found out, kind of doing a preview for the next show, that at the panel we found out that Blaster's kind of doing a reverse Freebird
rule.
He will get to pick his own partner. And they announced today that his next partner is going to be Sexy Sarge O'Reilly.
Ooh.
Oh, unexpected.
Yep.
Oh, so we might get that Sin Ace Hawkins rematch too.
Not only that, but this makes perfect sense because who else has beef with the Pinnacle?
Has been screwed
Sexy
up.
Sarge.
Yeah. Sexy Sarge.
That is fantastic. I can't wait for that.
That's exciting.
Thank you, Allie.
You're
Allie
welcome.
Allie's busting out some exclusive news on the show.
Thanks,
except
Allie.
For it's been killing. Up most of the day.
No, but we exclusive. Didn't know it. It's exclusive.
We didn't know it.
You heard it here first.
If I haven't seen it, it's new to me.
Because unless you read it out loud.
And we're also, it looks like Kazina's going to be back for the next show.
Yay.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So is Espy, I think. Yeah. Espy's also
Espy, for that. Espy, Ace Hawkins.
They did a bunch of the roster pages of people to expect. So
We had intermission, had pics and signs, signatures, or actually just pictures.
The pictures of Ron Simmons,
Ron Simmons,
Jeff Cobb,
Blaster, and Jeff Cobb. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to do it because the line was big and I didn't have money, but I wanted to so bad because I really wanted to get a picture with Ron. There's not a lot of wrestlers I want to bother because they're up-and-coming talent. They're young and hungry. And I don't want to bother them. Mm-hmm. But Ron Simmons, I have watched my entire life.
Yeah.
From WCW to WWE to the Nation of Domination and then the Acolytes and then the APA and then Damn. So I had to get a picture with him. I didn't until the next day.
Him teasing the Damn and then just shaking his head and leaving the ring. That was good.
Oh, we have to
what we're about.
We have to find the segment for Allie where it was 06 where he was at a restaurant. And he was ordering food, but every word that he was ordering rhymed
clams.
With clam. What kind of soup you want? Clam. It's so great. Oh, he's so in tune with what he does.
After the intermission, we had the three-way dance.
Yep,
between,
that was the triple threat. It was Brandon, Espy Espinoza, Damone, and
Tattoo.
Scary moment
came
during that match.
Came out with an awesome mask.
Yep.
Yeah.
That entrance, I was.
Yeah. I thought he was going full lucha there for a while.
I did too.
I thought he was going to wrestle in the mask. Mm-hmm. Glad he didn't. He's a handsome guy. Tattoo, there was a part where Tattoo was going for a corner kick, I think.
Went for a corner drop kick, hit the turnbuckle, and it looked like he hit the back of his head pretty hard.
And for the next 10 minutes, Tattoo was just out.
And it was, and not even that, the immediate, 2 or 3 minutes after, was just Kelly checking on him.
Super scary. Yeah. He wasn't reacting.
And the thing,
he wasn't moving, he wasn't reacting. You could kind of tell that, Espy and Damone might have been kind of thrown because they kept glancing over to see.
I couldn't remember if it was Espy or Damone, but one of them stood there for a little bit and just kind of stared at
him.
I
think it was Espy because they did that match was great because it started great.
Yeah.
Of Espy and Tattoo are both good guys. Damone with the Pinnacle trying to challenge them both to a test of strength. Which was stupid.
Yeah, because they just kept backdropping him out. And I remember we told him that's stupid. We chanted this that was stupid at him, and he was like, he hits the ground, he rolls out, and then he tells Jeff, he's like, I did something stupid. I can't believe Damone is as funny as he is.
And them doing a between Espy and Tattoo doing a mutual sign of respect. You know, they're clearly they're going to wrestle each other. They both want to win the match, but. You know, they respect each other.
Yeah.
Whereas Damone may not, you know.
Damone's a jerk.
He's shady, yeah.
Yeah. Now, at the panel, and this is, we got some answers because I asked the question at the panel about Tattoo. Kelly was talking about it. He said there was a good 45 seconds where he was not responding, and that's whenever he threw up the X because the X was thrown. If anybody missed it, he definitely did it.
Yeah.
At that point, I think Tattoo kind of got the wherewithal. I think he just kind of got everything shooken up a little bit.
He recovered at the end.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a great match, but Austin Lane also confirmed at the panel that nobody needs to worry. It was not a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
They checked that after the match. They said it wasn't a concussion. He's fine.
He just got rattled.
He got his bell rung, and it was just one of those things that kind of just happened.
And honestly,
and Kelly also said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but Kelly also, I just want to point out, also said that Tattoo did not remember most of the match.
Yeah, he said there was a good
He posted on Facebook. Yeah. He's like, well, don't wrestle sick because I don't remember my match.
Yeah, they
night.
Also said he was also maybe wrestling with the flu or something like that.
But as scary as it was because the arena got quiet. That was the quietest that arena was all night.
Concerned.
People were genuinely worried about him. But it ended up just telling a great story too.
Yeah.
Of coming back.
Of him coming back and wrestling again after we were scared he was hurt. And I think the scariest moment of the entire night was after he got his bell rung, he tried to go to the damn top rope.
Yeah, he tried to do a springboard thing. But
he was so shaky.
Yeah.
And I was scared
You could tell that he was kind of glazed over.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the championship this was for because it was for Damone's championship.
I know it's in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you.
My brain's.
And I apologize, Damone. I can't think of
it's
what
an
it
awesome
is.
Looking belt.
Yeah.
It's an awesome looking belt.
Yeah.
We have, you know, Ace Hawkins brings his title in. Mm-hmm. Damone brings his title in. And we kind of lose track after a while. There's so many titles.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You guys passed
the point. Oh, sorry.
I'm distracted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Cause Dell, or did you say Dell had his? He had his red belt with his tag belt as well.
So everybody had different titles, and we were all just kind of like, man, we get lost on – there's so many champions in CCW.
Right.
There's so many top-tier talent. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep track of it all.
Yeah.
After that – and by the way, Damone won.
Yep.
Retained his championship.
Yeah. SB hit an amazing turnbuckle brainbuster, which was really scary.
Which was
on tattoo.
On tattoo.
I mean, SB knows where to attack. And then Damone threw him out. It was the typical triple threat spot where somebody hits their move and then they get thrown out.
But it worked because I was so mad.
Oh, yeah. And then Damone demanded me to take a selfie with him.
Which you screwed up.
No, you totally screwed up the selfie because you're not in it at all. I am.
Yep. That was the point. I didn't want to take a selfie with him.
He was trying.
Liar.
Yeah.
You are a liar. I didn't want the selfie with Damone.
You didn't want the selfie in it because that would make it easier for Austin to pass it off as his. Austin, I love you.
Austin, if you go on, I try to keep
anonymity,
but if you want to see what I look like, go to Austin Lane's page because three of those pictures I'm in.
Did you say you try to keep Anne as an enemy?
So what's the next match, guys?
What was the next match?
I'm too busy laughing at you.
Dalton can't make fun of anybody else, but we can.
I'm pretty sure it was Joey Ryan and Vega, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Because after that was just the main event.
Because before that was the Missouri Wrestling Revival Association.
Yes,
I guess,
where they presented the wrestler to look out for or something like that.
Like Rising Star 2016.
Yes, to Davey Vega. Mm-hmm. And we saw Davey Vega almost a year ago, at the first show, which you guys didn't see. Mm-hmm. And he was one of our favorite things.
Yeah.
He was so good. And in this match was also extremely good.
Yes.
To match his wrestling skill, because he's a fantastic wrestler, so good, mm-hmm. was Joey Ryan, who quickly turned the PG show into a PG-13
extravaganza.
Now, in his defense, he did ask.
And Asa did answer.
It was a family show? Mm-hmm. Well, it was.
It was. And then he shrugged. He smiled and shrugged.
He shrugged and then oiled himself up.
Yeah. So, Davey Vega's future star of the year. Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I just wanted to get that.
And deserving,
out there.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm so glad he came back.
Yeah. Seeing that match made me very sad that I didn't get to see his first match.
Because it was against Hollis.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
It was against Hollis.
That was one of those Austin Lane YouTube moments where I was like, Davey Vega, let's watch him.
Joey Ryan came out and did all the Joey Ryan spots. He oiled himself up. The story of the match was he was trying to get Davey Vega to grab his junk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Touch it!
My favorite spot was the person behind me that I think is one of Brandon's relatives. And Joey Ryan does the oil bit. He gets his arms, his legs, his chest. And she's like, that's enough. And I was like, no, it's not. And then he does it where he puts it down his tights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I look and I was like, now it's enough. And she just looks at me and is like, I'm a fan. Just kind of shamefaced.
Sitting next to Brandon's girlfriend. She was unfamiliar with Joey Ryan
and his style.
So she
of
was just in. She was delighted.
Yeah,
like just what is happening?
He's a sexy man.
Really is.
He looks like every person's awkward or
perverted uncle.
Perverted, like 70s. I said father.
He's
from
a
the 70s.
He's a 70s porn star.
Yeah,
that's the bit.
He lives that gimmick well.
He does.
Came by the Gaming Grounds booth. We talked about X-Men on Genesis, which I explained to him that Hollis had come by earlier and didn't know there was a part two.
Mm-hmm. And then he said, "I think I didn't know there was a part two."
And that's when I realized I was in the wrong business.
And then he walked off and Shannon goes, do you know who that was? And I sat there and I was like, no. He said, that was Joey Ryan. I was like, now the mustache makes sense.
Yeah, because as soon as he
because who keeps a mustache
up,
like that?
When he walked up, I noticed the hair, the mustache, and the fact that he was in incredible shape. And I was just like, Joey Ryan.
Yep.
Clearly.
Yeah. And he was like, how did you not know it was Joey Ryan? I was like, considering I've only seen one video of Joey Ryan.
And nobody was grabbing his
crotch. And no one was grabbing his crotch. Someone came up attached to his crotch.
If someone was walking right in front of him holding his junk up, I would have been like,
well, I asked him, and he said no.
We'll volunteer next time.
Yeah.
One of us will do it. One of the guys in the crowd got the lollipop.
Yep.
Which
was...
Vega was like...
Vega got the other lollipop.
As he was giving the lollipop away, I told him, I was like, Davey, just keep your hand over your mouth the entire match. You'll be safe. He didn't listen to me. I told you. Told you twice.
But reverse the super kick.
With a lollipop still in his mouth. I think he kept it in his mouth past the three count.
I think he did.
He probably kept it backstage. He was like,
I would have.
This isn't so bad.
Yeah, so Davey Vega got the win. That was such a fun match, too.
Oh, it was.
It really was.
And we were all really scared about how Joey Ryan was going to be accepted. At Cape Championship Wrestling, because it is a family friendly show, wink. And he pushed the line, but I don't think he went over it really.
It wasn't the worst thing. Like,
he
did his greatest hits,
and he's done significantly raunchier stuff.
He's done the U-Pornplex attached to five guys before. Like 20
he's
guys.
Wrestled
like,
he's wrestled women. He's
and well, every time they do it, he ends up the test of strength reverses.
Thankfully, none of that happened. He kept it fairly tame. The crowd that knew him loved what he did. The crowd that didn't know him, I think he really won him over with the comedy. It was really good. And Joey Ryan was just a nice guy to talk to. He was a cool guy.
He was cool.
So that was a fantastic match. Then we had the main event, which was the four-way between Colt, Boom Boom Cabana, Brandon Barbwire, Hollis, and Austin Lane. I meant to say Brandon last, and I totally blanked. So anyway.
Champ comes out first.
That was another great match.
That was so good. The corner spot, like the Tower of Doom, I don't think I've seen that done before the way that they did it, because it was like the four person, like, because we've seen four person before, but it was Colt had Austin up in a power bomb, Austin had Brandon wrapped around for like a German, and then Brandon was given Hollis the superplex, and Brandon couldn't quite get his foot balanced on the top rope. So it looked real scary. That was a moment that Trish then turned and like dug her face into my shoulder because she was so scared for him. And
we were chanting no.
We did not approve of that.
No.
And if you want to see what this move looks like, you can go to Austin Lane's Twitter and you will see a really good picture of it.
Hollis sent one of those pictures to me and Brandon and Austin, and it was a picture of that with the little circles around Brandon's feet under the ropes, and Hollis was like, what the F was this?
Scary.
And Austin was like, yeah, I did deadlift.
I had to deadlift Brandon.
And he did, because it looked good. And everything, it was so pretty. And everyone came out okay from it, which was what I was genuinely worried about.
So whenever that DVD comes out, you need to buy it just for that one spot.
You need to buy it anyway.
Buy it anyway.
And if you're not going to CCW shows, shame on you.
Right.
Why are you even listening to this podcast?
Especially if you're in the area. The other, I really also really love the beginning where it was the Colt, Austin, and Hollis team, like on one side of the ring and Brandon on the other, and Brandon trying to get Colt onto his side. And so Colt walks over there and the crowd boos, and then he walks back over by Austin and cheers, and then they did that a couple times, like
and then Colt did the countdown and him and Brandon's charged, but Colt stayed back. Brandon ate a double super kick, which was fantastic.
I got kicked in the face twice.
I also really liked the Brandon consistently trying before the four-man spot, him constantly trying to hit a superplex on all three men, but all three someone interrupting it all three times.
It was a good match. I understand there was a little bit of a miscommunication between wrestlers about what they wanted to do. That's the only thing I'll say about it. You know what I'm talking about. But it came out really well. I thought everyone did so. Everybody's looking at each other like, what was he talking about? I'm not going to say it.
No, we know what you're talking about. Okay. We're moving past it.
Dalton didn't, because Allie just had to mouth the words to him.
We're moving past it.
Anyway, it was a fantastic match still, and everybody did a great job. My favorite part of it was before the match, because not saying that we have interjected ourselves into storylines with CCW, but one of the smaller storylines on the side that I can kind of take credit for is me pushing the narrative that Brandon can't trust Jeff. I wrote an article saying don't trust him. And when Brandon came around slapping, you know, fans' hands, because they did get a good reaction, he sees me and we kind of stare at each other and then we shake hands. And at that moment, he kind of looks at Jeff and Jeff says, what are you doing? You're shaking hands with him now? What's that? And that, to me, was such a good telegraph of what would happen later. Because I think it was Dalton that said, like, you're that fan now or something like that. Or maybe been you.
No, it was me.
But I thought, no, I'm trying to, like, I'm trying something. And then the end of the match with you were staring at me. I didn't know why you were staring at me. Am I bleeding?
No, just continue.
Okay. Oh, God, I am bleeding.
Yes, you are.
Why am I bleeding?
So Jeff throws Hollis the belt. No.
Well, we're getting there, Dalton.
I'm bleeding.
There's more to it than that before you just jump to the end.
There's blood on my hands that made me nervous. Anyway.
Hollis is down. Brandon is demanding the belt from Jeff O'Dell to be able to use.
To cheat. To win.
To cheat, like, as we've seen every time before.
Yep.
And Jeff is like, are you sure? You got mad at me last time. You're sure. You're totally sure. And it kept going back and forth, and we're like, oh, okay, so this is, you know, I was expecting Hollis to like roll up Brandon.
Yeah.
But then he's like, okay. And then he tosses the belt to Hollis.
Yep.
Hollis lays out Brandon and
wins the title.
Wins the 1-2-3 wins the championship.
Hollis is your new champion, and
the most quiet the CCW crowd has ever been was at that moment.
Well, just pure shock.
Yeah, that wasn't a lack of a reaction. That was just a stunned silence. Just like,
That was a genuine, organic silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it turned into why Hollis? Why?
Yeah,
and lots of booze. Many booze.
And this is unscripted, so we're so happy that Hollis won the title.
Yep. Yeah,
because Hollis is just the best guy in the world.
He's been one of our favorites.
And it's the whole thing. Like,
totally deserves it.
Yeah. Like, listen back to any of the episodes with Jason Wells on it. Hollis wasn't supposed to be on that first show.
No. Yeah.
They just kind of, he was just, he said, I can be there. He lives in Kansas City. That's a trip.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's been there almost, or you know, he's been there every show.
Mm-hmm. He has.
And always, he never has a bad match.
Nope. It always gets a bigger reaction every time he comes out.
Yep.
Of Hollis is a homegrown hero in Cage Championship Wrestling. Even more excited than knowing Hollis has the title now, because he totally deserves it.
Yeah.
Is knowing the matches he's going to have with Austin Lane, with Brandon Barbwire.
Those rematches with Brandon.
Because at the panel, he said, I want another match with Austin Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, that's the match I was like, I want another one.
Yeah. And that, I'm salivating for it.
I'm super happy for, and I told Brandon this after the show. I'm super happy for Hollis for winning the championship, because I'm excited to see what he can do with it, because I think he's going to do very, very well. But I told Brandon, I was like, I almost feel like I should tell you congratulations.
Yeah.
Because even though you lost the championship, like, this is a whole other beginning story-wise for him. And it seems like it's a huge, you know, if he wasn't big before, like, you know, this is like a launching point for him.
Yeah. The standing ovation at the end was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The face turn was organic.
Yeah. Because a lot of the crowd was already cheering him.
Yeah.
Like, we're already fans of him.
And now everybody was cheering him.
Yeah.
And clapping for him. And then he came around and slapped our hands and he hugged me, which was like, again, I know I'm not a part of the show, but in my own personal fanfic, that was the best ending I could get, was me and him hugged, and now we're friends.
Right.
So that was awesome, I thought. Mm-hmm. And the match was great. Brandon got a standing ovation. He got a speech at the end saying he was going to make Jeff Liddell's life hell. And it was just a good ending to the show.
Yeah.
It was just a good ending to a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A fantastic weekend.
Yep.
And that whole panel, that was his thing. There was a panel the next day. And that was his whole thing. It's just like, Jeff, just be ready. He's like, I can't put my hands on you. I'll figure out ways.
I'll get creative.
Which, that panel, by the way, about halfway through it, Ken Murphy up and leaves and just drags me up there and says, okay, he literally tells me, I'm going to put you on the spot. And I go, okay, what does that mean? And he's just like, And then he introduces me and says, all right, panel Shannon's, and walks off.
You first thought you were going to get yelled at, because what did you say?
I asked, so Hollis says that he doesn't have to talk anymore because Jeff Liddell speaks for him because he's the champ. And Dalton's asking him a question, and I go, well, no, Dalton, it sounds like he's his pimp. Hollis, it sounds like Jeff's your pimp. Which at that point, Ken looks at me and goes, Shannon, we're trying to keep it PG.
Which he said like 5 times, and then they just ignored it.
Yeah, dish and asses were thrown around.
I'm really bummed I had to miss that because of work.
I wish you could have been. They asked where you were, which was cool.
Yeah.
The panel went great. A lot of great questions. The fan questions were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to host, and that, I feel like everyone got something cool over the weekend, because you guys got to do stuff I didn't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this, for me, was my cool moment. Allie, stop.
You got a baby group. You got a
baby group.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't really want to do interviews, at least not yet, but
we'll see.
But yeah, I got to host the panel, and that was so incredible. It was on the spot, but I think it was either Jason or Ken. And Ken definitely afterward was like, oh, don't act like you didn't love it. Don't act like you weren't ready for it. And I was like, I was. Like, you can put me on the spot. I don't care. I love doing stuff like that. Yeah, it was awesome. Cody was there. Cody Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we got to see Cody Wilson. We got to see Phoenix this weekend.
Yes.
We got
to get to wrestle.
JD was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see them there, even though they're not on the card.
JD was helping tear down the ring with his arm in a sling.
JD, if you're listening, you stop that.
Precious cargo.
You stop that right now.
Yeah. No, but he will be back for May 6th, though, in Pickneyville.
We got our money on you as the next breakout star in CCW. Don't hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When Austin came out of the ring and was like, ah, my ribs. I remember Allie said, please tell me you're working us.
Like,
you're faking it. Please tell me you're faking
it. That scared me, because very early in the match, Austin did a suicide dive onto Hollis right in front of us. And he immediately just kind of like took a knee.
Yeah.
And like it sounded like he was breathing hard. I'm like, stop being good at what you do.
He's so
because
good
you're making
at what
me
he does.
Nervous for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
really excited to see him versus Hollis.
I do too, because I really want to see an Austin Lane run with the
especially
title.
Especially with they have a defined role.
Yes.
Because I know like there's multiple schools of thought that, you know, the defined roles hurt it, or everyone should just be kind of shades of gray. I like personally, I like the defined role. I
me
like
too.
Knowing who well, I want to support and who I want to boo.
I like the evolution of it, because it started as a gray area, but now through the story, you know who's good and who's bad.
Because the first time they wrestled, they both kind of teased tension against each other.
But now you've got, I mean, when I think about, okay, so Hollis clearly hates Brandon because when they had their match, like Hollis has a legitimate beef with him because Brandon tried to kill him.
Right.
Crushed his head in the cage. So Hollis has a reason to want to kick Brandon's ass. Brandon and Austin are the best rivals. I think they have the best rivalry in CCW. Now they have a kind of mutual respect for each other because they did take each other to the limit. And Brandon at the panel conceded, yeah, you beat me. And Austin said, yeah, and I know how good you are. And if you want to go again, let's go again. Austin has beef with Hollis because Hollis betrayed everyone by turning to the Pinnacle just to win the match. Mm-hmm. Hollis joined Pinnacle because he got tired of losing, and he was there to win titles, not to make friends. The story, it's so good right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are not a CCW fan, this is your time to jump in.
Especially since if you're still listening to this and you're not like in the area and you don't know CCW, there will be a DVD at some point. We don't have any details on that. Unfortunately.
But I said we just taped it on Saturday.
Yeah,
we don't know
it
how
just got taped on Saturday. Like, I know.
We just show up when they tell us to.
Yep.
That's pretty much our job. But yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. The wrestling was so good. Please go out and support CCW and your local promotions in general. Stride, wherever you're at, if you have a local promotion, please go watch it. It's the best wrestling you can see.
They're only going to get better if you show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at CCW. It has the core fans now. It has new fans coming in every, like, there are people there chanting that we'd never seen before.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's so cool to see more people. Like, we have our, like, we see Jared, we see Nia, we see Caleb, we see
Robert Young,
James
Foster,
Barry.
Yeah. We see all of them. And it's kind of neat. It's like a family reunion once a month with people that you
it
like.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody gives each other a nice hug. Everybody acknowledges
each
other.
Well, not everybody. Some people don't get hugs.
We like 90% we hugging everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and it's a really cool environment, and just like us getting to do the stuff we do, like getting to see Billy. Well, we get to see Billy twice a month, but like getting to see Austin.
I get to see Billy multiple times a month because every time I show up somewhere, he's there. We go shopping at Target together. We shop at Best Buy together.
But yeah. He showed up at my place of work one day.
Yeah. Like I always enjoy this time, like the CCW times a month, because like Jason shows up and does a show with us, or Brandon will show up and do a show with us. Like it's a fun time.
In the long-standing tradition of Billy grand entrances, he did flip a merch table.
He did.
Yes.
Which made us all real awkward.
And then I got to do the interview right after that. So no, they're on that high.
No, we did it before.
It was after.
Because it was before, because as we were leaving, Leva and Marnie, like, there was just, all of a sudden, there's this real loud booing as we're walking out, and I was like, oh, it must have been Billy. And then we round the corner, and I see him and Dell, walking through with their bags, and I was like, yep, it was Billy.
And then you guys got to have dinner with them after the show, and I remember Nia telling us, she was like, hey, a bunch of the wrestlers are out back, you know, let's go hang out with them. But I told her, I was like, I'm too exhausted.
Yeah,
and then
because I told you, I was like, yeah, we went dinner, and you're like, you guys went to dinner with them?
Yeah.
And I was like, you were invited, but you left like immediately after, and you're like, no, I didn't. I was like,
Yeah, you did.
You literally, the exact words you used were, I'm so exhausted, I have to go home and sleep.
I don't remember going home. I don't remember going to sleep. I don't remember a single thing about that night once we left wrestling.
It's a good thing I drove you home.
It's a very good thing. But that's how ragged Ken Murphy ran me that weekend.
And I can only imagine. Like,
and thank
must,
you for it, by the way.
He must still be asleep.
He is.
Like, he went to bed Sunday night.
No,
he
hibernates for a year in between cons. It's great. He gets a lot of sleep.
All right, he says he takes a month off.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he deserves it. He takes a month.
Thank you guys again. Thank you, Ken, Jason, Lee, all the wrestlers of CCW, all of the Stride guys that came out, all the fans that came out. You made it so good. Mm-hmm. You made it so good. And I can't wait for the next show, which is the Memorial Show.
That's
going
to be
May 20th. We're going to give you all the details about that very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And please stay tuned for that. We got to get out of here for tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark. We'll have a lot of fun stuff planned for you. Thank you guys for spending an hour and a half with us, because another super show. And we love you so much. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night. And support wrestling.
Support local wrestling.
Support everything. Good night.